Good morning.
Good morning.
Appreciate the opportunity to share the meeting with our brother. I'd like to ask you to turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Genesis, chapter 1. Genesis, chapter 1. Verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them," plural, "have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. Then God blessed them. God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over everything that moves on the earth." Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, verse 28. "There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female." Underscore that. "There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ." I want to speak on the subject of the woman's role. I guess that's where angels fear to tread. But you, sisters, can relax, because we're going to have some good things to say about you. In the first passage in Genesis chapter 1, male and female created he them. That's creation. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 28, neither male nor female, one in Christ. Sounds like a contradiction, but it's not. We appreciate you, sisters, you women. Our existence depends upon you. We wouldn't be here if it wasn't for our mothers. We appreciate you. I know, as a young man and a teenager, I know I didn't appreciate Mom the way I should have. Now that she's in heaven, I realize that. We appreciate you women, you mothers. In the scripture, God uses women in some very crucial circumstances. Let me give you a couple of them. Remember the midwives in the land of Egypt. The Hebrew midwives They were ordered by the king of Egypt to abort all the male children of the Israelites. That was the king's demand. But you know what it says about those midwives? They didn't fear the king, but they feared God. That makes the difference, doesn't it? You don't have to fear the king when you fear God. And that's the testimony of these dear midwives. When the male Israelite babies were born, they saved them alive against Pharaoh's requirements. The unregenerate daughter of Pharaoh was used in this program too, wasn't she? We presume that she was unregenerate. She is the one that adopted Moses. She is the one that financed his homeschooling. Moses' mother homeschooled him. It's not a bad idea to homeschool because you can teach them what you're supposed to teach them and what the public school is not supposed to teach them. Pharaoh's daughter, an unregenerate person, hired Moses' mother to homeschool him. You know, she was not a regenerate person, I believe. But you see, God is in control. God can use an unregenerate person for his plan and for his program. Do you believe that? Well, then the outstanding woman in the history of mankind, her name was Mary, the mother of our Redeemer. The Lord Jesus was born of a virgin woman. God is using women for very crucial circumstances. It's obvious that I'm not going to be able to finish my message today. So I think what I'm going to do, I'm going to share with you my outline. And we will have to make it part one today and then part two in the future if I ever get invited again. Number one, the woman in creation. That's what we read about in Genesis chapter 1. Number two, the woman in the fall. We've got some negative things to say there, ladies. Number three, the woman in Israel. Number four, the woman in Judaism, that is in our Lord's day when he was here upon the earth. Number five, the woman and the Lord Jesus Christ. Number six, the woman in grace. Neither male nor female. They are one in Christ. Number seven, the woman in the church. Number eight, the woman and headship. Number nine, the woman's role in the home. That's not going to be a popular one, but we'll have to cover it. We're not going to be able to get too far today, but at least you've got my outline. You know what we're going to talk about. The woman in creation, number one, God created them male and female. One man for one woman for life. That's what you get in the book of Genesis. That's what you get in the story of creation of man. One man for one woman, or one woman for one man, for life. What does that mean? What does that sum up to? No polygamy. There's polygamy going on in Texas right now, if you listen to the news. And you read the Bible and you'll find there was a lot of polygamy. Polygamy was never the will of God. Do you believe that? Whenever there was a practice of polygamy, and it's recorded in the scriptures, it was against God's will. It started out with a headache. It ended up with a heartache. And then the end of it was catastrophe. You follow it through, every single one ends in a catastrophe. If you read the news and you read what is happening in the Middle East, that is the result of polygamy. And it's coming to a head. It's called Armageddon. The story of creation, one woman for one man for life, means no polygamy, no premarital sex. That's not popular today in the world. No same-sex marriage. That's becoming very popular in the world today, and it makes me sick. But that's what we're facing in this world today. No extramarital sex. No divorce. One woman for one man for life. They are equal in God's eyes because both man and woman was created in the image and likeness of God. The woman as well as the man was created in the image and the likeness of God. Equal, visibly and functionally different. The woman was created to be a helpmeet, a companion for her husband. She was made from man for man. For life. Secondly, the woman in the fall. That's not quite as pleasant, is it? The woman in the fall. Sorry, girls. But the woman was involved in the fall. You know why? The one who was created by God to be a helpmeet usurped authority. That's the problem. Beloved, that's the problem we see in America today. She was supposed to be a helpmeet. She was supposed to be a companion. But instead, she usurps authority. What is she doing there in the Garden of Eden? Negotiating with the devil. You know, when I read that passage of Scripture, you know what the thought comes to my mind? Adam, where are you? Adam was responsible. Adam was the head. Adam was the leader. And when he saw his wife Eve negotiating with the devil, Adam should have said, "Sorry, dear, this can't be." But he didn't. And as a result, God held Adam responsible. I thought it was Eve that was responsible. No, it was Adam that was responsible. God says, "Because you hearkened." He said that to Adam. "Because you hearkened." In other words, what it amounts to, they fell together. Is that right? They fell together. And you want a scripture for that? Romans 3:22. There's no difference. No difference. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The woman in creation, the woman in the fall, and number three, the woman in Israel. Have you noticed that the leadership role in both the Old Testament and the New Testament was invested in males? Have you noticed? Why? The patriarchs, all of them were male. The kings, prophets, in the New Testament, the apostles, all of them were male. Why? Because God created man to be leaders. Now, there's one exception to this, the judges. They were all men excepting one. Her name was Deborah. Remember Deborah? She was a beautiful woman. She was a strong leader. She was chosen by God to be a judge. How can this be? She was female. Deborah is the only one that is called a mother in Israel. She was a beautiful woman, a strong woman. She's called Mother in Israel. Why did God choose a woman to carry on this important ministry among the children of Israel? You know, we're not told specifically, but I'm going to make a suggestion. God couldn't find a man to fill the gap. I think that's the reason. There was no man to fill the gap. So he called on this woman to be a judge. She did a good job of it. Kind of sounds like politics of today, doesn't it? If there's anybody that is non-politics, it's me. But I do listen to the news. And I know there is a woman who is determined to become the president of our country. Do you know her? Don't answer. Don't answer. I ask the question, is it possible that God is going to choose a woman as the president of the United States because there is no man to fill the gap? I don't know the answer to this. All I can do is pray. Concerning women in the nation of Israel, the women provided a lot of material and a lot of labor for the tabernacle. They were busy women. The veil in the temple and the curtains in the temple provided by the women. Going to include one more thing with the women in Israel, and I guess this is where I could get into trouble, but I'm going to say it anyway. In Israel, it was an abomination for a woman to wear men's clothing. I'm in trouble already. I know that. But it was an abomination for the women to wear men's clothing, and it was an abomination for the men to wear women's clothing. I'm in trouble. And that's all I'm going to say. Number four, the woman in Judaism that is in the Lord's day, the days that the Lord Jesus was here upon the earth, the woman in Judaism, during that period of time, the pagans' low esteem of womanhood influenced Israel. The pagan nations all around had a very low esteem of women. They were just slaves. They were nobodies. And that influenced the nation of Israel. In 1987, I had the joy of visiting the Bible Land on a tour. A delightful time. We had a Hebrew guide. Paul was his name. Orthodox Jew. And there was something I noticed about Paul. He made many snide remarks about the women. Oh, for example, he would say, "You can't expect anything better. She's a woman." You should have heard the groans of the women in our bus. They weren't too impressed with those remarks. But I tell you what came to my mind. The low esteem that the pagans have for womanhood influenced this man as well as the women in Judaism. The synagogues. Synagogues was not God's original plan. The tabernacle and the temple was God's original plan. What are the synagogues? The synagogues were raised up after the children of Israel were dispersed through different parts of the world. They have synagogues in Minneapolis. They have synagogues in every large city in the United States. A place where the Orthodox Jew meet. I don't see how they can be Orthodox Jew and here in the United States, but they are. They meet in the synagogues. And in the synagogues, there is a screen that separates the women from the men. Can't mix. In the day of the Lord, when he was here, the rabbis would not teach the Torah to women. It's a waste of time. Why would you teach the Bible to women? Won't do them any good. That was the attitude in our Lord's day. Josephus, you probably recognize the name Josephus. In the 3rd century, he professed to be a Christian. A very valuable historian of Jewish history. It's good reading. This is what Josephus said. The woman is worse than men in everything. Now, I don't know whether that was Josephus' personal conviction or whether he was quoting the condition of things in Judaism in the Lord's day. Number 5. The woman and the Lord Jesus. Things are looking up, ladies. The woman and the Lord Jesus. You can lift your heads high, sisters, and be thankful that God made you a woman. It's interesting to read the Gospels and see how frequently the Lord Jesus expressed respect and he defended the women. Just one example. Remember, they brought a woman to the Lord Jesus. And they said she was taken or caught in the very act of adultery. What do you have to say about that? They were tempting the Lord Jesus, weren't they? What does the law have to say about a woman that commits adultery? To be stoned. She has to die. You know, every time I read that account, I can't help but ask the question, where was the man? The woman couldn't be caught in adultery without a man involved. Where was the man? He probably was the mayor or a senator or something like that. The Lord Jesus says to the woman, remember he writes in the sand. And he says to the woman, has no one condemned you? She says, no. He says, neither do I condemn you. But then he added something to that, and we can't forget it. Go and sin no more. That's part of it, isn't it? That's part of the forgiveness. God forgives adultery. But go and sin no more. These women, like a magnet, were attracted to the Lord Jesus. You read the gospel records, and the many times the women were attracted to the Lord Jesus. They were the closest to him at Calvary. Where were the disciples? They were hiding among the bushes. They forsook him and fled. That was the women that stayed with the Lord Jesus to the end. And it was the women that were the first ones to visit the tomb the next morning. And isn't it interesting? They visited the tomb. The cross was empty. The tomb was empty. The Lord Jesus was not there. And the angel commissioned the women to be the first ones to go into the world and tell the story of a living Savior. That's not bad, sisters. That's not bad. Our time is gone. We have the woman in grace. We'll continue that, Lord willing, in phase two. The woman in the church, the woman and headship, and the woman in the home. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for our sisters. We love them. They can hold their heads high and be very thankful that God created them as women. And what an opportunity they have in service. As we continue the study, we will learn of those opportunities. We pray thy blessing upon our sisters, because we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.